The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at NewBalance.com.
Welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast with your hosts, Danny Cannell, Chip Patterson, Barton Simmons, and Tom Fernelli. It's your call for the best college football coverage from National Signing Day to the National Championship and everything in between. CBS Sports presents the Cover 3 Podcast.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast here on CBS Sports. That's Tom Fernelli. That's Barton Simmons. I'm Chip Patterson. Danny Cannell could be joining us here in just a little bit. It's been a very, very hectic few hours on CBS Sports HQ here in the CBS Sports Podcast Cover 3 land on CBSSports.com. We tried to start this once, our emergency podcast for the Big Ten, announcing that it was going to cancel the 2020 fall season. It hopes to play in 2021. And then very shortly after that news broke, the Pac-12 follows suit. Expected that the Pac-12 was short on the Big Ten's heels. We've gotten to hear from Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren. We've gotten to hear from Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott. I've been just getting through the health and well-being considerations for Pac-12 Institution, the official return to play considerations document. I appreciate the Pac-12 for releasing that. So, anything we can glean from that, we'll be sure to share here. But first, as this is emergency podcast style, Barton, I'll throw it to you first. How's the news hitting you, and how's it settling with you as we sit here awaiting to see if the Big 12 ends up giving a thumbs up or thumbs down with its university presidents meeting in about an hour?
I mean, it's pretty devastating. It's pretty, like, my whole household is just sort of just down. Like, even as we, you know, as we hit this, as you hit the, and welcome back to the Cover 3 Podcast, you know, you had a little less juice in your voice, you know, there's a little undertone of, you know, we're not as excited to be here right now having this discussion. So it just sucks, man. And I think the disappointing part, look, if we're disappointed, I can only imagine the disappointment in those locker rooms and meeting rooms and the way they've been kind of jerked around over the last several months, all the effort that those players have put into staying, you know, disciplined within the protocol. And then I think, again, like you go back to us, like it sort of felt like for us, there was some momentum that this could turn maybe and at least get delayed instead of canceled completely. And now, look, if we sort of feel unsettled with just the back and forth of the last 48 hours, I can only imagine what the emotions have been like within those programs over the last several months. So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of angles to go with it. I think the first, though, for me is just I'm just mourning right now. Yeah. The loss of a football season and the loss of what has been just our a lifestyle for us with the Big Ten.
Yeah, as I said on HQ earlier before we were able to start recording, it's a very sad day for college football, but it's just another in what have been a long line of sad days for, you know, this country and for the world since this pandemic became a real thing and started spreading across the globe. And it finally got here and it, you know, it impacted us right away. We lost the NCAA tournament because of it. We lost sports for a few months because of it. And now, as you saw, like there was the report from Pete Thamel today that yesterday, which is Monday, depending on when you're listening to this, on Monday night, the Big Ten, the leaders of the conference got together and had a Zoom meeting in which they started to discuss, you know, hypothetical situations for if they could postpone the season until the spring, what they could do. And when I saw that tweet, my brain nearly exploded at the idea that the NCAA tournament was canceled 5 months ago. And these guys sat around for 5 months before trying to figure out contingency plans for their football season. I mean, there's so much stupidity involved in that idea, if those reports are true, in that what we've seen a lot of in this country, unfortunately, when it comes to this pandemic, is instead of taking the pain in the ass steps to address the situation and what we were told from the very beginning, what we had to do to kind of put the clamps down on this, not kill it, not stop it, but at least get it down to a level where we'd be able to have a somewhat normal existence. Everybody instead just kind of sat there, crossed their fingers, and hoped it would go away. And it didn't go away. And it's costing us a college football season, just another, you know, another loss because of this pandemic and because of the way we have not taken it seriously enough. We just thought it was, you know, there's a lot of, I don't want to, there's a lot of American arrogance in that, that happens to, you know, crappy countries. That wouldn't happen here. Well, it turns out viruses don't really care about borders, and they don't really care about your economy, and they don't really care whether you're a democracy or, you know, a socialist country or you're a fascist country. They just care about getting in your body, making you sick, and killing some of you. That's their whole existence. And we were too arrogant to think that it wouldn't affect us, and it has. And it has completely turned our society upside down, not just in sports, but in the world in general. All three of us on this podcast, and Danny, when he joins us, we all know people who have lost their jobs because of this pandemic, not just in the sports world, just period. We all know people who have probably been sick because of this virus. We might know some people who have died due to this virus, or know people who do know people who have died. And now college football is the latest victim of it. And they can talk all they want about, oh, we're just going to, we're going to maybe play in the spring, but they're doing the same thing they spent the last 5 months doing. They're just kicking the can further down the road, telling themselves that, you know, we're going to take some time and try to figure things out, but you don't have any more time. It's pretty clear. You can't play this spring. Urban Meyer was on Big Ten Network just before we started recording saying there's no way in hell they could play football this spring. If you play in the spring, you're not just losing the 2020 season. You're impacting this season and you're impacting next season because you can't play two full seasons within a 12-month span. So you're going to have two shortened seasons. So the reality of the situation is, and maybe, you know, we don't, most people don't want to admit it yet, but we're not going to have football this spring, guys. We might have football in the fall. I hope we have football in the fall, but we're not going to have it in the spring, no matter what anybody is saying or crossing their fingers or hoping is the case right now. It's just not a feasible situation until we start handling our problems elsewhere, because college football and sports isn't the biggest problem right now. We just, in our area, the three of us, because it's what we do, it's our biggest problem. But in the bigger picture, it's not the biggest problem in the country right now, folks.
I think you could get a 6-game season.
Yeah, it would be significantly truncated, and it would have to, and you might have to delay the start in the fall. Now, the thing with like
running clock, we go full spring practice. All right, we're going spring practice scoring. Listen, style.
I said on the last episode, the defense. I don't want to watch 7-on-7. Okay.
No, we can get it going in the trenches, but, you know, the defense gets to score points with third down stops. You know, we won't.
Now we're not playing football, though. We're playing some silly made-up game.
So it is frustrating that even the idea of spring football, there's no details on it. I don't think that there's necessarily a rush there, but my understanding is that even the idea of entertaining a spring season is not at all thinking it's a 12-game season, and not at all thinking that you're going to have bowl season and playoffs and everything else. And I did find it interesting. So the Big Ten's still going to be able to do 20 hours a week. And the Big Ten is still going to be maintaining very regular testing protocols. They're still going to have all their facilities open. They're still going to have all their support staff. And did y'all see that Jim Harbaugh, through the press conference, was holding practice?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just going. They will run so many maize and blue scrimmages at Michigan this fall, and I don't know if Big Ten Network's going to put them on TV or not, but it seems like where it was reported at Michigan State, they were players taking their stuff out of the facilities in trash bags. At Michigan, they are just going to keep practicing because they are allowed to practice for 20 hours a week. And I think that Ohio State released the specific information about the testing protocol that they are going to continue the same stuff that they were doing leading up to this announcement. So I am encouraged that at least the universities are not, and I cannot confirm for the Pac-12, but I would hope that they are also following in this, that the universities aren't bailing on the college football players, and that Barton, some of your points yesterday about the like psychological aspects and advantages of being a part of a team resonated with me. I thought about it a lot after the show and editing it, and so as these announcements come out, I am hopeful that they stay committed to allowing, as long as you're able to continue and get no positive tests, which is going to be a big challenge as the semester unfolds and they don't have games and kids are everywhere. But if they are able to do it, that they would at least be able to still have team activities, goals, ways that you can line up specific tangible things, even if there's not a game there.
So I made the point yesterday that I do believe that players are safer within a football team in part because of all those protocols in place. And so yes, there is sort of a counterpoint to that in the sense that, okay, they're not playing. They're having more social distance guidelines. They're not having contact with other teams, but the protocols are still in place. So, that argument is proven invalid. I think the two things I would say to that, or one thing I would say to that is ultimately it's all those protocols are nice and they are a part of what I believe makes a player safer within the football system than outside of the football ecosystem. But ultimately what really makes those guys safer, I mean, yes, the contact tracing and the all right quarantining of players and all that stuff is important, and it doesn't really go on at this high in the same magnitude within the student body. But the accountability and the collective incentive to stay focused and stay disciplined is ultimately what really was going to keep those guys safe. And you talked about they still have the 20-hour a week rule or whatever, and they're basically continuing practice. Like, you're a Michigan
right,
player.
But you're right? Applying like this is where we start to stretch it a little bit. Like, if you're going to give them credit for having that during a season, then I think you should give them credit for having that same mentality outside of the season.
No, but that's my point. Is all right. You're a Michigan. You play football for the University of Michigan, and today, and you've been adhering to these protocols for the last 2 months, trying to get yourself a season. And you just got news today, your season is done.
Yeah.
And Coach Harbaugh says, hey guys, like, see you tomorrow, but make sure you stay focused and stay disciplined. We want to stay safe. Are you kidding me?
I know.
I mean, I'm just saying, if I'm a player, I'm like, thanks coach, our season's donezo. I'm going to see you guys at the pub. Or I'm going to see you guys at whatever, like old boy's apartment, and let's. I mean, you know what I mean? Like this, yeah. It's different. Like when you're collectively aligned and holding each other accountable because you are all like charging forward for a common purpose and goal, you're gonna stay focused on the prize. And with that, without that incentive, without that carrot there, to act like these guys are going to continue to act different from other college students, I think is inaccurate. And so, at the risk of continuing to drive home this argument, like I was thinking about this because, and I'll say this too, because this argument could be incorrect. Like this perspective could be, as with all this stuff, it just could be wrong. And I acknowledge that. But what's interesting to me is, we've now got an opportunity where, all right, the Big Ten is not playing. The Pac-12 is not playing. As of now, the SEC is playing. The ACC is playing. I think we all believe that there will be the beginning of a season for the SEC and the ACC, whether they finish one or not. And we could see a scenario in which we were sitting there watching, like, whether or not these football players at, because according to this, apparently they're still going to test. So we could sit there and compare, okay, here's what the testing looks like for a team without any incentive, without any reason to continue to follow the strict protocols. And here's what it looks like with the season, with a team that's in season, has something to play for, is playing against opponents week in, week out. My hunch, and it could, again, it could be off base. My hunch is that the teams that are playing are the ones that are going to be safer. The teams that aren't are going to see their number spike. And so, again, I understand, and like there's a lot to get to in terms of like the medical reasons why these decisions were made, and they're understandable and like they're compelling. But there's some personal like human element to this that I think is hard to grasp and hard to really quantify. And I was just thinking, like, personally, like, if my kid was, if I had a child that was in college, or if I was in college, that would be personal. Like, if I was in college and if I was on a football team versus if I was in college and not on a football team, I feel like I'm sitting here at home. Like, we've had you have two, Chip. So you had a pregnant wife and you now had a newborn. And like, we've been quarantined for basically six months. Right. Mm-hmm. And I've got my in-laws are immunocompromised. You know, like, my parents, I see a lot, and they're old. And so, like, there's all these reasons why, like, I have a purpose for this quarantine. Like, I have a purpose for staying focused on not exposing myself. I know for sure that if I was single right now, or if my wife wasn't pregnant or whatever, like, or if my parents lived out of town, I'm not saying I'd be reckless. I wouldn't be on Broadway, you know, a stage front. But I'd be going to dinner. I'd be seeing friends. I would be living a different lifestyle than I am when I have someone holding me accountable and a purpose to live that. But if I'm in college, if I don't have football anymore, I'm getting, so I don't know, again, I'm sorry to go back on that tangent, but I think there's a lot of dismissiveness of that point by people that are saying, well, they're still gonna be on campus, or, well, like, look, I still think it's valid.
So you would be on the.
I want to
let
Danny jump in here in a second, but I want to just go on record real quick. I am not expecting the ACC and SEC to start their seasons this year. I do not think they will play.
Damn it! Come on, Tom. Come on. That's our one saving grace. Is that, because I do think, like, and here's the selfish part of me, is like, we always get the reference to science, right? You know, like, if you know, well, don't you buy into the science? Science typically is having two or three or four different scenarios and then playing them out to see which works best. If we don't get those, we'll never know. Like, we'll never know what could have been. So that's just a side note, that if we don't get that, because I would love to see the SEC and ACC pull this off in the Big 12. I would love to see them try.
You're using the players as lab rats.
No,
true,
but you're not.
But I mean, well, because they're going to be on campus anyway. They're still like,
The hurdle is campus.
I get what you're saying, but I just don't think, I mean, like, I agree. Science is pretty much just the continuous process of proving yourself wrong over and over and over again. Right. And I do think that we need more data. It's just, I don't think college football players should be the data.
But they're not lab rats. If we're sitting there telling you, like, saying that I'm just saying, I believe that the path that is being taken by the Big Ten and the Pac-12 is less safe than the alternative. So, in my opinion, the alternative path, I hope, is pursued so that then we can perhaps find out that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 took the wrong path, and that perhaps then you might see a spring season, because they'll say, well, look, the SEC and the ACC did it. The players were safe. Our guys didn't. We actually had more positive tests. We made the wrong choice. I'm not saying that because I just think, like, let's just randomize it and see what happens.
I also think the lab rats have already been running around the cages. I mean, they've already been there on campus working out, you know, having workouts. We've seen positive outbreaks at Clemson, at Bama, at several schools. We've seen some schools like Michigan, as Jim Harbaugh put out the press release, have had really successful off seasons. Now, that would change, obviously, with games, but that's 10 Saturdays. You'd have 3 to 4 hours with significant risk. But the hope would be that with the testing that would be in place, monitoring their symptoms, that you would lower that risk significantly than if they were again, kind of to Barton's point, just students on campus where they're interacting every day with people who aren't tested, who possibly could be asymptomatic, you know, walking around as well.
The big test, from my understanding, in the mentality inside the ACC wanting to not join with the announcements this week, is get the kids on campus and see what happens. And that is the experiment. Like, it's not even the, like, let's start a game. If the ACC programs are able to get through, like, right now, if they're able to get through the next 3 weeks, yeah, I could see a couple games getting in. I could see an ACC season getting rolling. But I could also see the ACC canceling its season on September 1st if we see, as the kids come to campus, all of a sudden we've got half the league in quarantine. So, to me, I still think that there can be ACC, SEC, and Big 12 football, but I also recognize that whether or not it happens is going to be decided by the next couple weeks.
I want to make one point, too, based on what you're saying, because college football is college football. So it gets most of the attention because college athletics are entertainment for people. But, you know, there's a lot of, we talk about it and everybody talks about, like, the players being exploited because college sports are an industry. And I think what you just mentioned, Chip, is the same thing, but the schools don't get nearly the amount of attention it is because college is an industry now. It's right. No longer really about education. It's about getting as many kids as we can coming to our school who are paying us ridiculous amounts of money every semester so we can give them a piece of paper that's worth less than it's ever been before at this point, because everybody's going to college now. So they want those kids on campus because they don't want to lose the money, which is exactly why they want the football to happen, because they don't want to lose the money. But the schools and the, you know, the actual boards of trustees do not get their feet put to the fire like athletic departments do for doing the same damn thing that the athletic departments are doing, just trying to get their money out of it. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, great. Everybody's a lab rat then. Terrific.
Totally. I think that's a fantastic point you make, Tom, because there is hypocrisy in what the Big Ten and Pac-12 doing if they allow students on campus. Because I think this is all about the optics that people are paying attention to college football. We have the president weighing in. You have it making national headlines. They want to appear to be protecting their student athletes. But you bring up a great point. And I've been very vocal on social media, and more than I have been in the last 4 or 5 months. And it's both good and bad because I've been getting blasted on there. But a lot of people have pointed out, how is it okay that you can exploit, you know, the difference is, well, you're exploiting those athletes to make millions. Well, isn't it exploitation, overcharging for tuition and mm-hmm. still allowing them? I mean, there's an incredible amount of hypocrisy. Do you think because I think hopefully we hear some of the more specific medical evidence of why they didn't want to go forward with this. I really believe it's about the one. And it's, what if the one person, God forbid, died on your watch or was hospitalized and fighting for their life because of a battle with COVID-19? Like, I think that is the scenario that every school president realizes would cost them their job, their reputation, and that is really the driving factor. Do you think I'm off base on that? Or do you think, like, I feel like, and if I was in their shoes, I probably wouldn't be fighting as hard as I am.
You don't think it's the reported numbers are anywhere from 10 to 15 in the Big Ten? They're not all football players.
With the cardiac issue?
Yes.
With the myocarditis, yeah. Nicole Auerbach with The Athletic put out a report too. It says, according to a high-ranking source within the Big Ten, the conference is aware of at least 10 players who have myocarditis.
Well, that goes to back what Barton was saying in the last episode. Because, you know, there's like, and that's, again, I think you can find a doctor to say anything to support your view. But there are doctors who are weighing in saying this isn't controllable. This isn't manageable. Like, yes, there are 10 with this issue, but we've seen it before as a result of the flu, the common cold, mononucleosis. We've seen it before. We know how to treat it. Now, you have to miss 3 to 6 months, which is in those reports too, but you can monitor it. I mean, even and Barton was referencing the PhD from Alabama. I think it's Matt Ray is his name, right? Barton, I think, where he was saying, he was even more vocal, like fighting back, saying, whoa, this is not a reason to cancel a season. But I totally agree that, like, I think this is something that may have been the domino in the last 4 to 5 days that terrified them. well, what if, again, it's what if one of those 10 to 15, or if you had that number rises to 50, that is an awful look. And it, mm-hmm. and probably gets you fired.
So, mm-hmm. I'm keep on screwing up this. Is it
myocarditis?
Myocarditis. So the myocarditis issue is it frustrates me again to hear like I think ultimately the uncertainty is really like what really drove this. It sounds like from a lot of the talking points is just sort of the uncertainty. Like we don't know. Like we're just going to play it safe because we don't know. And again, this frustrates me because they're not going back to places where they're just automatic. Like it's still out there wherever they go. This condition is still going to be out there if they catch it. So, like to me, that wasn't compelling. I want to hear why they are less likely to be able to monitor it and catch it off the football team than on. And I will say this: like the one point that the Pac-12 made in their statement that I found to be like the only point that actually caught my attention as one that was compelling and interesting was from their advisor's report. They said it's anticipated over next. Basically, they were unsatisfactory with the number of rapid test results they could get.
Yeah.
You know, and so like if you're telling me that you are unable to effectively monitor, test, get those results back prior to competition, prior to those the contacts that you're going to make within the sport, that to me is like a much more reasonable excuse for not playing football than just whatever the disease is presenting to us. And then they said that perhaps testing is going to be much more readily available, and rapid testing more specifically is going to be much more readily available in the spring, in which case, maybe that creates a little bit more of a possibility. But that was like the one point that I noticed that actually was like, all right, I could live with that. Like you tell me, okay, you can't test these guys as effectively as you want to. You can't get the results as readily available as you need to make sure you know everyone is safe. Like that's a talking point I can live with.
Coming up on the other side, what's next for those players, those coaches, and those programs that saw their conferences cancel the season for the fall 2020? Next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
So Nebraska comes right out the gates, very disappointed, very clear that this was not a unanimous decision. I thought that there was some interesting comments from Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith, who it seemed that he was more in favor of a delay more so than an outright cancellation, hoping that maybe you might be able to wait and see how things go, check back again even into October. But his quote was, the science came at us really fast. You know, in the Pac-12, I don't think that we've seen as much outright reaction. And that was much more recently to when we hit record. And then, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, Jim Harbaugh is just holding practice as we are sitting here with a team spokesman saying, we are allowed to do 20 hours a week. This is just part of what we're allowed to do. So, I got a little bit turned off by trying to turn this into a conference realignment frenzy, but I don't want to stomp on any toes if that's where y'all want to take this. There is certainly a lot of questions ahead for players like Justin Fields, you know, some of the top players in the country in terms of what they would want to do. What do y'all think is
go
next?
Go to the NFL.
Well, what do y'all think is next for some of these players, some of these programs as they continue to move forward?
I think the Nebraska thing is really silly. I think Nebraska, which left the Big 12 a few years ago because it was tired of being treated as a lesser than or an other because Texas got special rules, and then joined the Big 10, where it's making $50 million a year, more than it's getting. You can get in the SEC right now, more than you get in the ACC, a lot more than you're getting in the Big 12, more than you're getting in the Pac-12. I'm supposed to believe that Nebraska is going to jeopardize that money and go play in the Big 12 this year. And then, because you think the Big 10 just gonna be like, yeah, okay, come on back. We'll give you all this money again. It's cool. You completely just made us look like a-holes in public and went and did this on your own. But sure, we want you back. We need you that badly. This is the same thing as I talked about on the show yesterday. It's the same thing as a politician tweeting, you know, save college football. It does nothing but score brownie points. College football is Nebraska. It's like Nebraska football is the biggest entity in that state. So think of how many people are mad right now that you know were mad. Everybody in Nebraska is pissed off that football got canceled. It's what their whole year's built around. So if they don't come out and say, oh, this is what, oh, we're going to do everything we can, we'll find somewhere to play, their fans are going to take it out on them. At least this way, fans can blame Kevin Warren and the Big Ten and the rest of the sissies elsewhere in the Big Ten for taking their football away from them. That's all that's about. They're not playing football anywhere this fall. And if they do, they're out of the Big Ten. So if that's the risk they're really willing to take to prove some kind of point, go for it.
Strong. Yeah. Strong. Barton, go ahead. How do you counter that?
I don't know. I mean, I think I'm not. Look, I mean, the reality, though, is that it's not like Scott Frost is out here like faking it that he wants to play football.
No, but he's faking it. No, Scott Frost isn't faking it, but yeah. There's no chance of it happening. And the fact that people are going to treat it like, well, where could Nebraska play this fall instead? That's just a stupid waste of everybody's time because it's not happening.
Yeah.
Do you think phone calls will be made? Do you think there are any exploration into it and it just, you find out it's unworkable?
Yeah. And then Kevin Warren calls and says, okay, well, we're keeping your money. Have fun finding a new conference next year. And then the phone calls end.
But here's the thing because I saw Dodd talking a lot about, tweeting about like the TV contracts and the conference alignments and all, you're beholden to all these deals. Isn't there just some level of like, all right, we're in a pandemic, every man for himself, if you want to go out and explore that, like take the liability with you, like you, whatever you dig up, like fine. Like I feel like this is look, you guys understand this, the business like behind the scenes, like inside baseball stuff of this much better than I do. So feel free to correct me. But it just doesn't this feel a little bit like a crazy outlier year where it's like, all right, like good luck.
I think that, I mean, the every man for himself philosophy is precisely why we just had to cancel the college football season. Because yes, there's been way too much every man for himself going on since all of this began. And I think so, yes, because of that, Nebraska can take that approach. It's just at the end of the day, they can say everything they want to say and they could effort and make the phone calls, but it makes no sense for Nebraska to jeopardize its place in the Big Ten.
So you think that would jeopardize Nebraska's place in the Big Ten?
Yes. Yes. If you make the Big Ten look that stupid in front of everybody, especially when you're a relative newcomer to the conference, if Ohio State and Michigan did it, I don't know if the Big Ten is kicking them out. But Nebraska, yeah.
I did think it was funny, like Jeff Brohm was quoted, like someone quoted Jeff Brohm today, and Jeff Brohm was like, the Big Ten is our home. We will not be pursuing any other games. Like, all right, like Purdue knows their place. they're not going to go mess around. But like Nebraska's got some cachet. Nebraska's got some pull. Like Nebraska, I don't know.
Do you think Nebraska and Ohio State could play an exhibition game on October 31st? That seems more likely than I'm just going to jump in.
Reverse spring game?
Yeah.
So it would be the fall game.
Yeah.
Or would you have a potential red day or whatever they call it in Nebraska for their spring game? Would they flip it around and have a exhibition between themselves that they could have the fans?
That seems more likely.
Everything is on the table.
Yeah,
right, I think that's college basketball likely. Teams play their own tournament after the tournament got canceled?
No.
College teams aren't doing it either.
That's a lot of
But they weren't pieces. Practicing.
True.
They were what?
They were not practicing.
College football, they're not going to be playing exhibition games. Guys, maybe I'm going to look like a complete moron. And
I don't think they are.
It's not going to happen.
I'm sitting here, I'm not sitting here saying it's going to happen. Like, I know it's far-fetched. I get it. My perspective is more about, Chip has conversations with John Swofford and stuff, interviews him, and he's this stuff better than I do. But from my perspective, that Kevin Warren would just be furious in Nebraska trying to go get theirs in a time when he said no to, you're not going to play under our umbrella. That strikes me as almost pretty callous for a program that's basically trying to revive the local economy in some way. I'm only saying that I'm not saying they're going to find anything, but it seems plausible that they will be, they'd be able to go have some conversations and dig something up. Maybe he's going to go back to the AAC and just win another national championship.
But we all have a boss, right?
Yep.
If our boss tells us we can't do something or we're not doing something and then we go do it without our boss's permission, what's our boss going to do to us?
Fire our ass.
Yeah, exactly.
But unless there's a better opportunity, then we would be willing to take on that risk. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Nebraska has that opportunity.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Exactly. Well, all right.
Cause I hear what you're saying. And I thought that's what you were going to say. And that's what I deep down believe is it's just logistically, it's a nightmare. All right. So if it's logistically impossible for the teams to realign, what about the players? Because who's to say a Justin Fields says, you know what? I don't necessarily want to wait till the spring. I've got the NFL draft, but I don't want to skip a season. I love football. I want to play for a championship. Who's to say he couldn't transfer to LSU or what? Pick your program that is actually playing and say, well, I'm see you later, Ohio State. I love you guys, but I can't play. I mean, I think the NCAA would have to grant them immediate eligibility. Now, the issue that crops up with that is you transfer and you wait, and then the SEC or ACC shuts down, and then you're transferred. But I guess you're in the same boat, and then you just say, to your point, Tom, go play in the NFL.
Those start of classes, the time to register, that's the only thing that you're working against, right?
I checked Ohio State, Michigan, but those two, because they were just the easiest to Google, are not yet. It's August 27th and August 30th. So technically, they haven't started
But the time's
classes.
Ticking. So you were saying, what's to stop them? And it's just the eligibility requirements of being able to get somewhere and get enrolled in a fall semester.
Although I do think LSU would figure out a way to sneak him in if he's a little past the deadline.
I thought this seemed far-fetched. And I was talking to a Big Ten personnel director. I was just texting with him yesterday, random. And he brought this up without me asking. He was like, I was like, you guys think you have a season? He was like, or I was like, sort of like, what's the vibe in the building or something? He said, man, the only thing I'm scared about is if we don't have a season, our roster is going to get raided. And that was surprising to me. That doesn't, because like kind of what you guys are alluding to, like it just seems like tough to pull off, like tight window. Teams have scholarship restrictions already. You know, but I think that's a real fear. And I agree with Danny in that, like, if a kid does want to transfer, how do you not rule him eligible? I don't know. That feels like that's a hard case to make.
You know, you have to let him go if a kid wants to transfer. I mean, but like the thing is, I'm just not convinced they're going to have a place to transfer to, because like a guy like Justin Fields, if the SEC and the ACC do play, Justin Fields can transfer anywhere he wanted to. If he wanted to, a school will gladly bring him on. But a lot of players, they're not going to be open spots available to them. And a lot of those players who typically might transfer, you know, would transfer the G5 route. Well, most G5, you know, we've already seen a couple G5 conferences cancel their season. We're probably going to see more because, you know, I feel like it's much easier for them to cancel their season, whether they want to, than it is. It's a much easier decision anyway for them than it is for Power Five. So I think that we're looking at a situation where the ACC and the SEC are going to be the only possible options to transfer to. And those are pretty talented teams already. And I don't know how much room they're going to have for as many transfers as they might, you know, want to be coming there.
AAC, come on. You can come be a superstar. Right,
sure,
now.
This is the AAC's chance to finally join the Power Five.
My right. Beloved USF Bulls.
Go Pirates.
Let's go.
Jeff Scott actually tweeted a graphic, you know, ACC, Big 12, SEC, AAC, the Power Four, or something like that. So he's on board. He wants in, baby.
Hey, and I think he just had a baby too, didn't he? I mean, yeah, he's a busy guy. Yeah. Still had time to send out that graphic. I love it.
Hey, at Clemson South, we know what we're doing. We're building a champion. All right, Danny, or any sort of final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, I mean, I guess I look at it. I'm like, all right, what does the calendar say now? Like, how long can the SEC, ACC, how long can they do this? And then I keep going back to, imagine the fortitude that they're going to have to power through this. Because now without the Big Ten and Pac-12, now you're even more on an island. And who knows what the Big 12 is going to do. But they really, I think you do need each other. Like, so I hope there's those conversations like, hey, you in? Are you still in? And if one of them folds the cards and, you know, throws in the hand, I think it's done. And then the other thing, what I look at the landscape of sports, I look at Major League Baseball. Their first week of the season, they had a massive outbreak on the Marlins. And there were people saying, this is why you can't play. This is why you can't play. And they made it through it. And then they had another outbreak. And people are like, this is why you can't play. This is why you can't play. And they're still there. Now, baseball, Major League Baseball, professional athletes making millions of dollars at stake. They can weather that storm. Even if the SEC, ACC, Big 12 do start, I'm kind of with you guys. I don't think they can weather the storm of the criticism they would take with the outbreaks that are most likely going to come. You can say they're not, you know, the risk is there, whatever, we're going to protect the risk. I mean, there are 28 other baseball teams that have zero COVID tests. There could be 100 programs with zero, you know, very low test, you know, positive tests. But they get that one school that has 30, 40, and it's done.
Yeah, so we're already down to like 70. Yeah, we're already down to like 75 going in the fall.
Right. So. My bad. Yeah. So yeah, you know what I mean. Like out of those, I don't know. So I guess it gives us something to talk about for another few weeks. I would love to see them attempt it. You know, and I don't say that lightly. Like I don't want it to be lab rats. I want them to do it as cautiously as possible. But I guess I'm more statistically driven of the risk is extremely low that worst case is going to happen. But I understand why you would say that one, you know, that 0.5%, whatever the percentage is, isn't worth it.
Tom, Barton, final words.
That's all I got left.
Yeah, that's... You know, I'm just mad that we didn't get a Big Ten win totals pod in.
We tried.
This all came crashing down.
why did we should have recorded it on Saturday when
the
we found it.
The win totals came up. When did they come out? When did they come out?
On like Friday, I think. Yeah. We were too selfish to give up our weekends
we
to record.
We should have done like a midnight Friday night win totals pod. Just get it in.
Just so we could have had a lock unity on the Rutgers being under one. Yeah, we would have been all in on Rutgers under one in year one for Greg Schiano. I don't know.
I hate this so much.
Yeah, it stinks. It's tough. I guess we'll continue to follow this. We'll also start to get real creative. We might need to lean on the listeners for some. The mailbag is open. Boy, it is open. Remember that Barton A&M and Fernelli Tech and DCPU all came about from a mailbag question, you know?
That's true.
So we can really lean on these listeners.
Show for us, please.
All the Georgia questions that I've left in the mailbag, we're coming for them. We'll do a Georgia month. Of course, we're keeping our eyes on the Big 12 as they continue to meet this week. I've got no real sense or prediction. I just almost hope they kick the can so that we can chill out for
the rest of the night off. Yes. I'd like to go make dinner, but I keep worrying about getting that text from we need you on at 5. Yeah. Okay.
We love you, Randy. You can follow him on Twitter at Barton Simmons. You can follow him at Tom Fernelli. You can follow him at Danny Cannell. You can follow me at Chip_Patterson. Gentlemen, thank you very much.
You.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.